I just want to talk about the flyer.
Okay.
It looks like a devil's party. I don't want to sound like Grams, but it looks like there's going to be like a human sacrifice at this party.
Where is it? Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 406, Great Expectations.
Expects the unexpected. What's the Dawson's drink for episode 406, Great Expectations?
Do you want to know when this episode aired?
No. Wait, November 8th, 2000.
Oh my God.
Because last week was November 1st.
Look at you using logic and reasoning.
Oh my God, it's an election year. Our young minds didn't even know.
Who was it?
Bush and...
Oh, was it...
It was Clinton's vice president. What's his name? Gore.
Gore. I kept wanting to say Dole in my head and I knew that was wrong, but it was a four-letter word.
Look at us.
Thank God.
Basically historians.
Yeah, wait, was in 2000 the Hanging Chads?
Yeah, it sure was. Oh, that was the first year that I could ever remember they didn't reveal the night of.
And the winner is?
Yeah, I woke up the next morning asking my dad who won, and he's like, they don't know. I remember vividly my dad was like sitting at the table, and I was like, well, who was it? And he was like, they don't know yet. And I was like, what?
What do you
mean? That's crazy. But it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. They have to know.
Thinking about how archaic the voting process was, like people were doing paper ballots.
No, I disagree. Go back.
I get it. But how did they count them for that night?
They got Gertrude from the library.
They had volunteers around the clock.
And she had those little thumb things. She flipped those papers. And you know what? We got the results that night. You know what we don't get now? Results that night.
No,
so the computers, be gone, AI. We don't need you. We need Gertrude.
Bring back Gertrude. And that's our podcast stance.
Well, what is the Dawson's drink for Great Expectations?
We are drinking ecstasy. We're dropping a tab of X. If you ask Jen Lindley, it is cognac, dry vermouth, and honey whiskey. She's a boozy one.
I had a reaction when you said tab. Is that what they call them? Or do they call them pills?
She called it a tab of X in this episode.
Oh my God.
Jen Lindley knows about drugs, okay? If there's one thing that they want us to know.
Speaking of tabs, should I ever tell you the story about the Listerine tabs? Do you remember the Listerine tabs?
Like the sheets?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you didn't.
I had those in school and I got sent to the principal's office because they didn't know what they were.
You thought it was drugs?
Yeah. And I was like, sir, please. Listerine tabs.
Sir, have you ever met me?
I will say, though, I never did drugs. And it was shows like this, like episodes like this. I mean, we're putting the cart before the horse, but these were real, you know, warnings.
For deterrence.
Me. Deterrence.
Yeah. What I remember is episodes like this and then that episode of True Life, whatever. I don't remember the name. It might be True Life, I'm on Drugs. I don't know. On MTV. But they talked about how the girl had holes in her brain from doing ecstasy.
From doing ecstasy?
They showed a picture of her brain and it had holes.
I thought ecstasy was like pretty benign, but I guess not if it gives you holes in your brain. A cold Miller Lite on a Friday night was all I needed. Simple pleasures.
Were you drinking Miller Lite in high school?
Yeah, what were you drinking?
That's rich stuff.
Oh my God. We have had this exact conversation. I just had a deja vu.
We're nothing if we're not consistent. Just having the same conversations. We already talked about how we have dementia.
In 5 years, we'll be like, we should start a Dawson's Creek. Anyway, sponsored by Ginkgo Biloba.
Well, why don't you refresh us on what this episode is about? Because you know I don't remember.
Episode 406, Great Expectations, opens with Andy helping Jen with her college applications in the library. Since Andy finished hers episodes ago, she's been pushing Jen and Jack to complete theirs. So she advises Jen to get organized and focus on which schools to apply to. After hearing from Drew about his and Jen's past in New York, Andy suggests that Jen consider schools there. Jen dismisses Drew as a liar and warns Andy not to believe a thing he says. Just then, Jack arrives with mail from home, from Harvard. Andy has been accepted. Meanwhile, Dawson and Gretchen run into each other while browsing for music, and they get invited to a rave. Dawson isn't interested, but Gretchen insists he needs to loosen up, promising to introduce him to new experiences. As they chat inside, Joey and Pacey walk by, and Joey catches a glimpse of Dawson and Gretchen bonding through the window. At home, Jack and Andy's father, Mr. McPhee, is ecstatic about her Harvard acceptance, his alma mater, and he can't wait to brag to his friends. But when Andy's alone with Jack, she confesses that she thought she'd feel happier. Something is holding her back from being excited. So Drew continues to push Jen to embrace her old New York self, but she insists that she needs to focus on college. He then reminds her that the ecstasy he gave her for her fake birthday mysteriously disappeared when he went back looking for it, and implies that she took it. She calls him a bastard, and he taunts her about the rave tonight and says maybe this will be the day she finally lets loose and becomes her old self again. So Mitch and Gail, meanwhile, tell Dawson that despite all the reasons they shouldn't go through with the pregnancy, they've decided to have the baby, and Dawson is thrilled. So he decides to go over Gretchen and Pacey's, where Gretchen is helping Joey get ready for the rave, and Dawson says he's changed his mind and he'd like to come too. Jan and Andy are discussing the Match Point, which is a place you go to get the address for the real rave. Jen seems anxious, like she's unsettled by Drew's comments, but she's mostly going because Andy really wants to celebrate her Harvard acceptance. When Jen thinks she's alone, she takes out the ecstasy from last episode and Andy catches her. As they walk to the party, Jen opens up, admitting that she used to take ecstasy all the time. She describes the high, how it makes you love everyone, how it makes you happy, but warns that it only lasts for 6 hours before leaving you more depressed than you were before. That's why she stopped. It turned her into someone she didn't recognize. So Andy asks to see the pills, and while Jen lets her hold them, she notices that Andy seems a little too interested. Jen reminds her that Andy should be happy. This should be one of the best days of her life. She got into Harvard. And Andy says, you know, you'd think that achieving something you've worked your whole life for would bring you some happiness, but she's just not feeling it. So when Jen asks Andy how she is feeling, Andy says she's tired of talking about her feelings. Tonight, she just wants to have fun. So Jack interrupts them, and Andy quickly hides the pills. Later at the rave, when Jen asks for them back, Andy reveals that she took one. Jen is instantly worried, but Andy insists she's fine and begs Jen not to tell Jack. So on the drive to the rave, Dawson, Gretchen, Pacey, and Joey reminisce. Joey starts to notice again a little spark between Gretchen and Dawson. When Gretchen and Dawson step out to get the rave's address, Pacey and Joey discuss this spark. Joey says it's natural. You know, they work together, they're the same age, so of course they're going to get a little closer. Pacey notes that it bothers Joey. Joey denies that it does, but points out that it bothers Pacey, and he just wants it to bother her too. So while Dawson and Gretchen are walking to the Match Point, he lets her know that his mom decided to keep the baby and thanks her for being there for him through that whole process. Inside the rave, Joey asks Gretchen if something is going on between her and Dawson, citing that Dawson used to have a huge crush on her. Gretchen brushes it off, saying that was ages ago, but Joey warns that Dawson has a way of holding on to things from the past. Gretchen assures Joey that if Dawson is waiting for an old crush to rekindle, it's not her. It's Joey. Later, Gretchen asks Dawson how he feels about her. He says they have a nice friendship and says that when Joey and Pacey sailed away, he lost not one but two best friends, and he really likes having Gretchen around to fill that void. Meanwhile, a now high Andy dances with Drew Valentine, which makes Jen very uneasy. She asks Jack to keep an eye on Andy, but doesn't mention the drugs. She claims that she's just worried about Drew. Outside, Pacey and Joey share a moment, with Pacey admitting how much he misses true love. Andy stumbles across them in her altered state and is brutally honest. She confesses she's still in love with Pacey, he's the love of her life, and calls what Joey did to Dawson cold. On the dance floor, Jen grows frustrated when Jack admits that he lost track of Andy. She asks him to do one thing and he couldn't. So worried, they rush off to find her. When they do, Andy's with Dawson, Gretchen, and Drew in the bounce house when suddenly Andy starts to feel faint and collapses. Jack rushes to her screaming for help. As the EMTs load Andy into the ambulance, they ask if she took anything. And Jack says no, she's only on her antidepressants. But Jen blurts out that Andy took ecstasy. Jack and Jen share a knowing look and he is stunned. He lashes out, furious that Jen would give his sisters drugs. He says that she should be the one in the ambulance, and he goes off to the hospital with Andy. Drew takes Jen home, unimpressed with her martyr act, wondering why she's so hellbent on taking responsibility for something Andy did. He reminds her that they come from the same world and warns her that everyone in Capeside is just waiting for a reason to shut her out and make her the villain. At the hospital, Jack informs the group that the ecstasy mixed badly with Andy's meds and she could have died. So Pacey feels guilty because he kind of realized something was off with Andy, but he didn't push hard enough. He decides to stay with Jack and Andy at the hospital. So Mr. McPhee arrives, and Jack tells Andy how upset he is with her. The three of them are all they have now. Andy admits that she just wanted to feel happy tonight. She just wanted to feel something. And she's touched to see that Pacey stayed with her. Later, Dawson and Gretchen say goodbye, and she thanks him for being a good friend. He's helped her transition back to Capeside. So Dawson turns to take Joey home, and they both decide they're not tired. They stay up all night talking, realizing that in less than a year, they won't see each other every day, or row across the creek to visit each other. Dawson tells Joey not to put her boat away just yet. Alexander will need it to row to his house now that he's going to have a little brother or sister. Joey is overjoyed. They both start to wonder what their futures will look like without each other in it. And that is episode 406, Expectations.
Beautiful recap.
Beautiful, beautiful. Don't do drugs.
This is basically an after-school special, 100%.
For sure. So who wrote Great Expectations?
We have a new team for this episode. This episode was written by Nan Hagen. She is best known for a show named Sliders. Sliders was 5 seasons. The first 3 seasons were on Fox, and then it was canceled. The last 2 seasons were on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's Jerry O'Connell. It's basically about people who are sliding between parallel universes.
Oh, yeah. That show was huge. It's basically Quantum Leap, but like with a group. So they go to different worlds. Like the one I always remember is where women are the dominant gender and like men are like subservient to women. And they go to like alternate realities. So it's not exactly like Quantum Leap. Like he leaped into people's bodies who are going through weird things. They leap into like alternate reality, like parallel universes. Like what if the Nazis won? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting. In Googling her and Googling the show, it has a huge following. It has a wiki. It has like kind of like Dawson's. It has a lot of people who are still really into it and still talking about it, which I thought was cool.
It was funny. Julie Chen has like never missed an episode of Big Brother, the live Big Brother show, but she had to this last season because she got sick with COVID-19. With COVID. So she had to miss it. So Jerry O'Connell stepped in to do an episode. And that night that he hosted on Big Brother, they host a live show. And then the person gets evicted and comes out and talks to Julie. But in this night, it was Jerry. And Quinn, a guy, got kicked off. And Jerry's character's name was Quinn on Sliders. And he was like, I can't believe this. Like, my parents named me after you on Sliders.
No way.
Cute. He's like, what are the odds? Like, my parents are obsessed with you. This is crazy. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? COVID-19.
Well, she also had episodes of Diagnosis Murder, The Net, and JAG.
The Net, like the USA show based on the Sandra Bullock movie?
You better believe it.
Oh my God.
Her last writing credit was in 2010. And since then, it seems like she has been working for a development company, or she founded the development company that specializes in thrillers and mysteries.
How many episodes of Dawson's did she do?
So she is credited as an executive story editor this season.
Oh, wow.
And she has 2 episodes, this one and 413. So we'll talk about her again then.
Okay. So for those who don't know, executive story editor is still kind of on the lower end of the writing staff. So she's still like a little baby writer at this point.
Yes. This is very early on in her career.
Well, praise be. What about director?
This episode was directed by Bruce Seth Green. Interesting. I didn't really put together until I said out loud that Seth Green is Green. His name. That's funny. He started directing in 1969. He had episodes of Magnum P.I., Knight Rider, T.J. Hooker, MacGyver, Baywatch, Doogie Howser, Xena, Hercules, Diagnosis Murder. On the WB front, he had episodes of Buffy, Charmed, Angel, Gilmore Girls, Roswell. His last credit was in 2003. I think he retired. And he actually just passed away at the top of this year in January at the age of 83. So RIP Bruce Seth Green.
Oh my gosh, he just passed away. So yeah. This is for him.
This episode's for him. It's not a good one so far. Completely off the rails. Sorry, Bruce.
What about guest cast shout out?
I don't have one. There's no one new in this episode.
What about the EMTs?
Oh, yeah. You're right. All of those guys who are acting like they're in MASH.
Look, they knew she was on something. What is she on? Nardal. What else?
What is she on?
Well, there's no guest cast.
No guest cast.
What about Song of the Week?
Oh my God. Are you pitching a new name for this segment?
I am barely awake. What's the music moment of the week for you?
I don't really have a music moment in the sense of it tying to a scene, but I love Fields of Gold, the original song Fields of Gold by Sting. Yeah. And when it came on, I was like, oh my God, there's a cover. That's in this
episode. That's
my
music moment.
Yeah.
Because do you know what? I think they play it. I think it's a recurring song this season. I think it's played a few times.
Mm. It's by Eva Cassidy, this cover.
It sure is. I thought it was so cute. Dawson and Joey are finally talking like normal people. And they're just talking. And then he's like, don't put your boat away. Alexander's going to need it. You know, in my mind, the Dawson's reboot, which should have happened 2 years ago for the 25th anniversary, is Alexander and Dawson's sibling, gender TBD, their generation's drama. But I don't know if we're going to get it ever, because at this point, they'd be 25. For them to be teenagers, it would have to be set in the past at this point. Who wants to watch a bunch of 30-year-olds roaming on the green?
I mean, me, I would watch that too, but...
Why wouldn't they just use cars?
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Why wouldn't they just use bird scooters? Is that what they're called? Bird scooters?
Yeah.
Well...
Past, first, present. You have anything?
Just that I was like, totally Andy, like, we'll never do drugs. And just episodes like this used to hit me so hard. Like, they were so effective. Such a deterrent, as we already said, you know?
Yeah, really instilled fear, for sure. But now, watching this, I'm like, oh my God, because I've been really worried about drug interactions lately. I don't know why. Anytime I take anything, I'm like, is this going to interact with something I'm already taking?
But your doctors wouldn't give it to you if it did. Did you know that?
Yeah, but not ecstasy. They're not taking into account ecstasy.
No, but I didn't know that. Like, because I always tell my doctor, I'm like, can I take this if I'm on this? And he's like, oh, the computer wouldn't let me prescribe it. If it interacted, the computer wouldn't even allow it. And I was like, wow. I mean, that's assuming you trust healthcare professionals.
Put on your tinfoil hat. I'm ready to hear about it.
Hey, look, we all heard about my elbow STD story, okay? Let's open it up.
Andy got into Harvard, okay? Andy got into Harvard.
You know, good for her.
If anyone deserves it, it's her, honestly. She did literally everything she could do.
So Andy is done with her college process, as we know, but she's helping Jen and Jack and all the others. And they're headed for like the college section of the library. And that is when Jack rushes in with the letter.
It's so cute. He's so antsy. Jack has kind of been floating a little bit as kind of an ancillary character, not in the forefront, just kind of supporting. Obviously, he has this soccer storyline, but this episode, he has a lot of stuff to sink his teeth into. And I think he did a really good job.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention before we move on, this episode has a previously on, which is at the top of the episode, they say previously on Dawson's Creek, and then they recap what's happened in previous episodes. This is the first one of the season, because I was like, oh, they haven't been doing previously ons. But then I went back and they did do them in season 2. They did not do them in season 3 at all. And they did not do them this season so far.
See, that's something I would never notice, but that's something you would notice because that's your job.
It is. Yeah, that's a big part of our job. So I'm guessing that so much happens in this episode that was set up in previous episodes that they wanted to make sure everybody was remembering.
Yeah, we had to be reminded of the ecstasy. We had to be reminded of Gail's pregnancy. I'm so happy for Andy. We've been on this journey with her.
So happy. And I remember that anxiety of receiving a thing in the mail and being like, is it thick enough to be an acceptance letter? Is it, you know, that time where you're waiting for acceptance letters? Oof.
Yes, because Andy says it's too thin. And she says this is one of the, you know, instances where size matters. Bigger is better.
Makes sense.
So Gretchen and Dawson are in the music store. They run into each other and there's a rave.
There's a rave. If somebody hands Gretchen the biggest invitation to the rave, a huge poster.
And they talk about raves like Gretchen's basically like, the raves are this new thing. And like, I want to go and check out the culture.
Gretchen's a weird one. I'm going to be honest with you.
She's only a year or two older, but she's acting like...
very mature. She's trying to give Dawson an education in music. She's trying to open up his world.
Shout out to the Nelly Furtado sticker in the background. I love Nelly Furtado. Joey and Pacey walk by and Joey catches a little glimpse of Dawson and Gretchen in the shop and they're flirting. And Joey clocks it. It's very interesting.
And Pacey says, you want to burn some time spinning some discs? That sentence has never been spoken. Never before and never since. But Joey's like, no thanks.
Dawson and Gretchen are like listening to music inside at like one of those listening stations. Do you remember those? Like the listening stations?
Yeah, I do.
Those were cool. I discovered a lot of new music at those. Like at like Barnes and Noble and Borders. Yeah, because you'd be able to like see the covers of the CDs and then you'd be able to switch. And it had a little descriptor being like, if you like, you know, Third Eye Blind, you'll love Pete Yorn or whatever it was. And it was a Pete Yorn album. And I'd be like, oh my God, I do like Pete Yorn.
They were right.
And then I bought the CD. Oh, those were the days.
Ugh.
Opening a fresh compact disc in your brother's car. And you were such a big deal driving home. And you had manual windows you had to roll down. And then you had to put the cassette tape in the deck and attach
with
it to
the
your
wire.
Attach it to your disc man and then balance it while you drove so it didn't skip.
Yeah, if you go over a big bump, you're gonna have some skips.
And then you'd be like, the laser. Well, anyway, that's what Gretchen and Dawson are doing.
Then we're with the McPhees. And I love that they're in a place where Jack can openly mock his father and joke about going to clown college. And Mr. McPhee is still like happy-go-lucky. And at first I was like, is this just Mr. McPhee riding the high of Andy getting into Harvard? Because as we learn in this scene, he also went to Harvard. He's so excited. She's going to follow in his footsteps. But no. The end of the episode, he is calm, cool, and collected in that hospital. He is not upset. He's like, let's communicate. Everything will be fine. Maybe he's been taking the Nardol, actually.
Well,
family prescription.
You know, Jack moved in last season because Andy asked him to. She was like, I'm lonely. You have this thing going with Jen. But then when he went and kissed Ethan and Ethan rejected him in the season 2 finale, he turned to his dad and like they had a cute little moment. But also Ethan brought them together in that one episode when Jack invited Ethan for the sleepover because he thought his dad was going to be out of town.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he and his dad have slowly been bonding. And now they've had like a whole summer just to live in the goodness.
Yeah, they are fully bonded. Let me tell you.
And not Mr. McPhee stealing my wardrobe. That shirt.
Oh my God. Put it on our TikTok shop with Mitch's wardrobe from last episode.
I think I have that shirt in every color. Andy is trying on his Harvard sweater. And he's just so excited that she got into Harvard. And she's just, you know, numb. She's not feeling the happiness. It's supposed to be the greatest moment of her life, but like she doesn't feel it, which is awful. I feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
But he's like, look, there's a rave. Don't you want to go to a rave? This rave is making the rounds.
Yeah, man. Everybody's going to the rave. Jack has a printout. It's coming via mail. It's coming via email.
Have you ever been to a rave?
No.
Me neither.
I've been to Booty LA.
Oh my God, Booty LA. BYOGS, bring your own glow sticks. Is Booty LA still a thing? It can't be.
No, I don't think it is. What do I know? I don't know why I said that with such authority. I haven't been to LA in 3 years.
Well, Jen is on collegeseeker.net.
Jen is Googling, what is college? How much does college cost? Jen is doing the bare minimum on the college front, and she gets in a little email in her email inbox. You've got mail. And it's from Drew V. Drueveee. Best screen name ever.
Jen is on AOL, which is giving me life.
Absolutely. And Drew V is actually sitting 2 rows back, and he emails her the flyer for the rave. And you know what? Jen isn't having it. And let me tell you something. Jen is the new Dawson. Jen is the Dawson of this season so far. She's very uptight. She's very know-it-all. And she's on her high horse. And I don't like it. Ear to ear first.
I mean, I agree. You know, she's... Don't forget where you came from, you know?
Absolutely.
I just want to talk about the flyer. I want to talk about the flyer.
Okay.
It looks like a devil's party. I don't want to sound like Grams, but it looks like there's going to be like a human sacrifice at this party.
I was going to say it's kind of Mayan or something, the art.
Yeah.
Like it's very
tribal,
but also lightning in a way that makes it scary.
And then it says DJ Snuff, DJ Shiver, and MC Laughing Boy. And then it says call tonight 192-3542. I mean, props to Dawson's for not doing like 555. It was always 555.
It still is a lot of times.
Well, this is 192.
One thing that I want to talk about is these color Mac computers.
Oh,
I wanted one so bad.
So bad.
How hip is Cape Side High that they have them and they have them in all different colors?
This computer class, they're killing it. They're sending each other emails. They're designing
flyers for raves.
Well, Mitch and Gail are just dancing in the kitchen. You know, they love to dance in the kitchen. That's canon.
That's canon.
We've caught them dancing in the kitchen before. They do everything in the kitchen, if you know what I mean. We also caught them ripping each other's clothes off in the kitchen.
Ain't that the truth?
It's their favorite room. It's a very versatile room. Well, they're dancing because she's keeping the baby, and Mitch got Gail tons of balloons.
So many balloons.
That say congratulations.
They look good in the scene. Mitch looks good. Gail looks good. They've been to the spray tan place. They're happy. They're glowing. I love this.
Their spray tans look amazing.
Don't they though? For real?
Yeah.
And then Dawson's like, oh man, this is such great news. I'm going to go to the rave. I don't think he says that, but he does say he's going to go out.
I'm just thinking about the other day. They're doing construction on the thing below me. I got a message from my landlord the other day being like, hey, we're going to shut off your water between like 9 and 10. And I was like, oh, it's fine. I have the dentist at 10. Anyway, like I'll leave early for the dentist. And I just spray tanned myself the day before. And I looked in the mirror after the dentist and like a monster. Like my hair was crazy. I was like orange and it was just a disaster. Cause you know, like after you take a shower, some of the orange comes off and you don't look as crazy.
You hadn't showered.
I hadn't showered because they turned my water off. So I went to the dentist looking like a psychopath. It was also the day I hurt my foot. So I was limping and I was just like, dear God. So when you said spray tan, it just reminded me the other day when I was in my car and I looked at myself and I gasped.
Well,
but Mitch and Gail.
Love them. And I love that Mitch turns to Gail after Dawson leaves her room and says, do you know what I love about that kid? He knows how to take a hint.
Yes, they are going to do it. What do you think made Dawson change his mind to go to the rave based on hearing this news? They say we're pregnant and he's like, you know what? I'm going out.
I think he was a little bit like, meh. He wasn't down per se, but he was kind of like, meh. Then this just lifted his spirits. He was so happy. And the first person that he wanted to tell was Gretchen. So he was like, I'm going to go out with Gretchen because she's the one that invited him to the rave.
And Gretchen and his mom have so much in common because they've both been pregnant.
The truth. Gretchen, we go to Pacey's house and Gretchen is helping Joey get ready for the rave. And she's got makeup on. She's got jewelry on. She's ready. Gretchen's wearing business on the top, party on the bottom.
Gretchen, fashion icon as always. Very Delia's.
Very Delia's. Very alloy.
And if it clashes, she doesn't care. She's in her 20s. She's a rebel.
She knows about fashion. She knows about music. She knows about raves.
Yeah. And Dawson has changed his mind. And she's like, Pacey and Joey are coming too. And Dawson lets out a very funny laugh.
And I actually kind of liked this. It was not as awkward as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
No one had a huge reaction to each other being there, like Pacey and Joey. Or Dawson. I liked it. They're moving on.
I agree. It was like kind of like a subtle, like, time has gone by.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting used to it.
Jen is schooling Andy on raves. Everything about raves, what it's like to be at a rave, what it's like to be on drugs at a rave. Jen knows everything, okay?
Yes, you feel happy. You like to touch things and you love everything.
I thought it was cute that Andy says, are you sure you want to go? And Jen says, yeah, I want to celebrate with you. Everyone's really celebrating Andy in this episode in a way that feels really real and really cute. I love that dynamic between everyone. It comes up again a little bit later.
They're much better friends than I was when like my first friend got into college. When my first friend got into college, I remember being like, oh my God, like, where am I? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me when you go into the light?
No.
Izzy Stevens, Grey's Anatomy, IYKYK.
What do you think Jen's intentions are when she pulled out the pills? She was like, I've never been to a rave without ecstasy. I have ecstasy. Let me think about it.
I think Drew got in her head and he was like, you're so boring now. You're looking at colleges. Old Jen Lindley would have done the drugs and come to the rave.
And I think she really wants to do it because when Andy comes in, she could have easily hidden the pills, but she doesn't. She wants Andy to see them. She wants to bring it up. She wants to talk about it. It feels like she's looking for permission.
Yeah, or like she definitely wants to talk about it. Oh, Jen.
She says, once you do it a few times, you can't resist the X effect.
The X effect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's amazing. I just can't do it. Too paranoid.
Especially now in the age where fentanyl is literally in everything and you could take one pill and be dead.
That's what my parents always said. That's what deterred me too. It was like one wrong thing and you're dead. It only takes one thing and you're dead. And I was like, well, I don't want to die, I guess. I mean, then I didn't. We're on the way to the rave. Dawson borrowed Mitch's car, which is like a big manly car. He calls it the Mitchmobile.
Big manly.
And they're driving. They're telling a story about how when Dawson was 11 and Gretchen was 14, it was the 4th of July. And that was the last time all four of them were together in a car.
Yeah, cute. Again, we've talked about it before, but Gretchen slotted in so nicely. It's so clear that they have these memories. It's so clear that they've known each other for a long time. And this is another example.
Yeah, and Pacey and Joey totally pick up on their little banter they have going.
In the scene before this, Jack comes up and greets Jen and Andy, and he looks so good. I was never attracted to Jack. I didn't think he was unattractive, but I never was like, oh, and this watch around, I'm like, okay, Jack.
You mean like when we were that age watching? Yes. Versus, oh, okay. Because you've mentioned it almost every episode.
I don't know. Season 4 Jack.
And I'm like, this can't be a new revelation because you just talked about it last. I know, but no, he's definitely good looking. And I still think he's good looking in real life, IRL.
Silver Fox jinx.
Jack interrupts them fresh from his soccer meeting, which interrupts Jen and Andy. Jen says it makes you feel good, but then you feel worse after. It's a temporary fix, right? It's putting a Band-Aid on something. And Andy asks to see it. And Jen is like, you are way too interested. Like, what is going on? And then that's when Jack interrupts them and Andy's forced to hide them in her pocket. So Andy has the pills at this point. Oh, no wonder you like Jack in the scene. He like reaches for the monkey bars and his shirt rides up.
He does like a little pull-up action. I'm picking up what he's putting down.
I think we all are.
So once they get to the rave, Dawson tells Gretchen that his parents are going to keep the baby, which she's thrilled to hear. He was apprehensive about telling her. He didn't know if she would be upset given what she's gone through. She's like, nope, I'm happy that you told me. And then Jen checks in with Andy and says, okay, give me the ecstasy back. And she's like, okay, I did take one though. And Jen is freaking out. She's like, Andy, I got to keep an eye on you. And Andy's like, sure thing. Just don't tell my brother. Whatever you do.
She took it in the car, that little sneaky sneaker.
And they're pretty big and dry looking. Did she have a bottle of water? Because they look like Altoids to me.
Look, Andy's been taking pills daily for years.
So true. Good point.
She's been cranking down the Xanax. She's been cranking down the Nardol. She just like a seagull, like a gull, like just like a pelican, throws them back.
Knocks them back.
Well, let me tell you the double take I had to do in the scene where they walk up and Drew's like, come on in, guys. You're not boring. The person standing behind Drew. Yes. Oh, my God.
I wrote this down, too. He looks like Beavis or Butthead.
Beavis.
He looks like Beavis. Beavis is in the building.
It's also like Beavis meets like SpongeBob. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I could see that.
But he's at a rave and we're raving. On the way over, Joey and Pacey discussed Gretchen and Dawson's closeness and how it doesn't bother either of them, but how each of them thinks that it bothers the other. Just something to note as we move forward with the rave drama.
When the two groups, so Pacey, Joey, Gretchen, and Dawson came together, and then Andy, Jen, and Jack came together, and when the two groups greet each other, everyone's like, congratulations, and they hug Andy. That's another moment where I was like, this is so cute. And Gretchen's like, why are we congratulating her? And they're like, she got into Harvard.
I love when shows do that, because like, right, there's no way that Gretchen would have heard about Andy. So just reminding us that Gretchen's kind of on the outskirts, and she's never really known Andy, even though Andy and Pacey dated, and just reminding us of the dynamics. And there's something about the group dynamic of it all when she asked. It was really nice.
It's a very small moment, but it worked really, really well.
It gives you that like small town feel. They're connected. They're not connected. And Pacey hugs Andy and congratulates her. And then Drew tells Joey like, oh, if that hug lasted a second longer, it might have like broken ex-hugging protocol. And then Gretchen's like, who is this guy? And Dawson's like, have you ever heard of Abby Morgan?
I loved that.
Best line of the episode.
Love an Abby Morgan reference.
Because he's essentially boy version of Abby Morgan.
I would love to see Gretchen take Drew down a few pegs. I would love for them to have a little altercation. We don't get it. but I was just thinking that would be a nice dynamic to see play out.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, someone has to. We're inside. Andy is petting everybody. She's petting Joey. I'm just going to say it. Andy and Joey didn't try.
Their outfits?
Yeah, they could be going to the store.
We've seen what Andy wore to the prom last year. We know that she has makeup that is appropriate for a rave. She's not wearing it.
Yeah, she's wearing like a quilted top.
Crocheted. Well, Joey doesn't own any clothes. Joey's closet is, I just imagine it's all like 15 of the same shirts.
Yeah.
But she put on a hoop earring.
That's really where the effort is because they really stand out on her. It's really a unique sight. Anyway, whatever. Joey's like, Gretchen, what's going on with you and Dawson? You know he had a crush on you when we were 10. And Gretchen's like, that is old news. And Joey's like, have you met Dawson? He's obsessed with the past and he has a way of holding on to it.
Good point, Joe.
Very good point. And this gets Gretchen thinking, does Dawson have a crush on me? I better ask him.
She wastes no time. Then we cut to Andy, who has found Drew, and Drew is on to Andy, first second of them standing there. And he's like, all right, you're on X, I'm on X. And he says, come on, Ivy League, let's have some fun. And I'm into it. I'm into this pairing in this episode.
Yes, me too. I wish they went like a little further with it at some point. It's a good little dynamic.
I think Drew, for how awful Drew can be, I do think he would probably be a fun buddy, like a good time Charlie kind of thing.
Yeah, we talked about it. Like, I don't really think they're making him a huge villain. I just think he's just like a bad boy from New York. Yeah, he's like a faster, looser kid, which I like Drew, I must say.
Cutie.
I just like anyone who mixes it up and gives us something new, you know?
Totally. Then we cut to Pacey, who is sulking on a couch on the outskirts.
Yeah, we love a floral pattern couch on this show.
We sure do. He's on the outskirts of the rave and Joey comes up.
They play that old game, Barnacle for Your Thoughts.
That old classic.
That old classic.
Barnacle for Your Thoughts.
Barnacle for Your Thoughts. And Pacey's like, I miss true love. When I look up at the stars, it just makes me think of being on the boat with you and I miss it.
He's like, I miss it too.
Poor Pacey. I feel like he's going through like a little depressive era.
100%. I mean, he saw the life that he wanted. He wants to live on the boat, have his girlfriend, fish, work on odd jobs.
Play Barnacle for Your Thoughts.
Play Barnacle for Your Thoughts. Instead, he had to go back to high school, and that is a nightmare for him.
How many barnacles are on the boat? Aren't barnacles like bad?
No, but you should chip them off, I think.
And did they ever?
So then Gretchen, she approaches Dawson, and she's like, hey, Dawson, what do you think is going on here?
Do you like me? Or are we friends?
She says, do you think that there's something between us? And he goes, there is something between us. Friendship.
Friendship. What's the only ship you can't sink? Friendship.
Oh, it's a nice moment, though. And it is kind of fresh, Dawson. Like, he's not overthinking, I don't think, in this moment. He's just like, yeah, we're friends. I like having you be a friend. I lost my two best friends. And it's been nice to have you here.
Yeah, he's basically like, I lost my friends and you're my sloppy seconds. No, sloppy thirds. But they both like each other, right? Or is this the moment where they're realizing they like each other and they're lying to themselves and saying it's friendship?
I think they're realizing it. I think Dawson realized it last episode when he was looking at the photos of her, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they're so cute. I love these two together.
I love Gretchen. What can I say? I say it every 2 seconds.
I think Gretchen's one of his best relationships, if not the. I don't know. I'll have to reflect on it more.
Oh my gosh. Write it down. We can look back.
You write it down.
Sorry. You got it. Yes, sir. Then we go to a scene where sweaty Andy and Drew bump into Pacey and Joey. She has her lollipop and she's laying it all out there. It's brutal. This scene is brutal.
She says, they look so good together. Like, Pacey, you're the love of my life. I'll never get over you. I pretend like I'm over you, but I'm not. And Joey, like, you're so cute, except for that time you broke Dawson's heart and chose Pacey over him. But I love that we're all friends.
She was like, and don't worry, Joey. Pacey is over me and he's very loyal, which maybe I should have been. And if I were, we would probably still be together. Okay, Andy.
I know, it's so funny. And Drew's in the background just like loving everything.
Loving it. and Joey is very uncomfortable, and Pacey is very confused. Like, this is not the Andy that I know.
Yeah, he suspects something is off for sure.
Then Jen comes and finds Jack, who is supposed to be keeping an eye on Andy, and he says, hey, these are my new friends, Holly and Liz, which Holly and Liz is a callback to the writer's assistant and her writing partner who wrote episode 321, Show Me Love.
Oh my God, I love when they do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Liz Tigelar and Holly Henderson.
Oh my God, Liz Tigelar, of course.
Of course.
Well, this bounce house looks really fun. And then Gretchen and Dawson fall on each other.
So fun. Before anything even happened in here, I was like, this is a place I want to be. I want to be in this bounce house. It's huge.
I love a bounce house moment.
It looks so fun.
Or like a trampoline moment.
But yeah, then Dawson and Gretchen have a moment where he's fallen on top of her, a little tension. And then Andy starts getting a little dizzy. She has a headache. She's freaking out. She's seeing the light. She's hearing weird voices. And she collapses onto Dawson. And Jack immediately freaks out. His reaction was a little big for me. I mean, not that I wouldn't be freaking out if my sibling collapsed, but
yeah, it needed one more beat of like,
what's going on? Is she okay? Like, yeah.
I think she just fainted. Like, no, she's not breathing. Like something.
Yes, exactly.
Because she could have just fainted.
Right. Completely.
Which is, yes, alarming. Like, you know, it is really scary when people faint. But I don't know if it would get you to the level of emotion he's at. It did feel like it needed something else.
100%.
Or like she's like, you know, burning up, like, oh my God, she's so hot, or
something to indicate that racing. It's more something. Than just
because, you know, I'm a fainter.
If there's one thing I've always said about us, it's that we be fainting.
Oh yeah, you're a fainter too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do we have whatchamacallit? What's it called when you get really dizzy?
POTS. Vertigo.
What was the first one?
POTS.
What's that?
POTS is very big right now. That's what they kept trying to tell me I had. Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome.
That's what they kept trying to tell me I had. Made me laugh. Ma'am, you have POTS. No, I don't, sir. This goes back to not being able to trust your healthcare provider.
How dare you tell me I have POTS?
I don't have POTS, sir. Also, this is a side note. Do you know what I found out last night? I cried laughing when I found out. It's not Lyme's disease. It's Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
I knew that, but I don't think I ever say it that way.
Well, anyway, it's Lyme.
It's Lyme. Get it right or pay the price. Are there always medics at raves? Is there like a medic tent and an ambulance standing by? That normal practice?
I did think it was weird. So it's more like, so it's a very organized rave, right?
Professional.
Yes. It's like Firefest or whatever. I don't know if it's that a rave. It's not like an illicit party, which is what I thought it was. Like if the cops find out about this, we're dead.
Which is why it made me think of Booty LA, I think. Because Booty LA is like a once a month party where they do a DJ mashup, but it's just in a big room and it's like a bunch of people dressed crazy dancing, right?
Yeah. And this is like a warehouse. Health tent. What am I looking for? Like a first aid tent.
Medic, yeah.
Medic tent, medical tent. It did kind of take away. I was like, no wonder Andy felt safe, like taking drugs.
Totally.
I've been to places where it has a medical tent and I still wouldn't have ever done it. But props to Meredith Monroe because Andy looks dead.
She's a cold fish.
Her tongue is practically hanging out of her mouth. It's giving Abby Morgan in the body bag.
You're right.
Zip it up. That's a wrap.
They carry her on a sheet to the ambulance and Jack, and they're like, anybody coming? And Jack's like, I am. And Jen's like, Jack. And he goes, it should be you in this ambulance again, Jack.
That is so harsh. But now I could buy his upset, right? Because ambulance, going to the hospital.
Sure. But he doesn't know. He knows that she got the pill from Jen, I guess. But he doesn't know anything that how it played out.
Yes. So the medics are like, we talked about a little bit about the moment earlier. The medics are like, what is she on? And Jack says, her antidepressant, Nardol. And they're like, no, what is she on? What did she take? And Jen's like, ecstasy. She took ecstasy.
tab of ecstasy.
And Jack is like, that's when it clicks into place. You and my sister were doing drugs, you drug addict.
And they go to the hospital. Jen declines. She decides she should just go home after that comment from Jack. But everybody else goes to the hospital. And Jack comes out and says she's going to be okay. It could have been really bad. She could have died. She's not up for seeing anybody. But thank you guys for coming. She's glad that you're here. And this was another moment where I was like, Jack really had stuff to sink his teeth into. And I feel like he's grown as an actor from season two for sure. He did some good stuff in here.
It was Final Destination. It took him to a new level.
And PC is like, you know what? I think I want to stay. And everybody's like, yeah, I get it. I feel really bad for PC. He's like, I should have known that something was off with her. And Joey's like, even if you knew, there's nothing you could have done. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay.
Yeah, because like he thought she was having some type of manic episode or something. You know, he clocked her weird behavior. So he feels guilty and he decides to stay. And Joey is not jealous. Joey is self-assured.
Totally. She's like, here's my jacket, just if you need a little pillow or something.
She is not threatened by exes.
In fact, she's going to get in the car with her own ex and she's going to hang out with him all night.
So suck it, Drew Valentine. They can hug all they want. Gretchen says how hard coming back to Capeside is and she thanks Dawson for his friendship. And then Dawson walks 2 feet to Joey.
Yeah.
The walk jarred me. I was like, oh.
This is interesting because it does feel like there's a little bit of tension between Gretchen and Dawson. Nothing actually happens. They're just chatting. But then he walks about, one yard and Joey's there. And I'm like, oh, obviously nothing was going to happen with Joey right there.
Yeah. And there we are with handsome Mr. McPhee at Andy's bedside.
I'm telling you, Mr. McPhee has been going to therapy. He's been doing the work. He is cool, calm, collected. Jack is like, Andy, you messed up. You can't be doing this. It's just the three of us. We need each other. Mr. McPhee's like, we'll get through it. Hey, as long as we communicate, everything will be fine.
Yeah, he probably was like, my daughter needed some fun. She's so tightly wound and crazy. He's like, good on you, girl.
He's like, it's okay. We'll get through this.
My first thought was like, what if Harvard finds out? Does she have to put this on her record?
It will go on your permanent record.
Do you think that Mr. McPhee brought Andy's robe from home? Or do you think that's a hospital robe?
100% had that question. No, that came from home. That is not a hospital garment.
I know. I'm kind of living for that robe. Loving the colors. Okay, pastel.
No, it's adorable. I'm into it. And I love that they want her to be comfortable. Also, this lamp that's by her bedside is not a hospital lamp. It's like a home lamp.
Yeah. Well, look, SetDeck's been making some weird choices. As we said, I'm pretty sure Mitch and Gail's doctor office.
Yeah, that was the yacht club.
I'm pretty sure that was the yacht club. I'm pretty sure the couch that Pacey's sitting on outside this rave in this episode is like from somewhere. Like I've seen it. I don't know if it's a yacht club couch. I don't know. Sure. I've seen that floral printed couch before.
Sure. They're being resourceful.
Yeah, they're. But anyway, it was. No one thought we'd be rewatching it the way we rewatch now.
Amen. Then Pacey comes in the room with some coffee and Andy apologizes and he says, it doesn't matter what you said. It just matters that you're okay. It's a nice little moment.
And she's like, you love me. You really love me. You're here.
And then we cut back to Dawson and Joey, who have been up all night chit-chatting.
What a freaking shot. What a
shot. Beautiful. Beautifully timed.
Do you think this is sunrise or sunset in real life? I know it's sunrise in the show.
Probably sunset. That's probably the bay. Probably sunset if I had to guess.
Well, I just think it's a magical shot. I'm not even joking. I think it's like unreal.
It's gorgeous. And they had to shoot this really quickly because the sun does not last at that height for very long.
You go, Bruce Seth Green.
You go, Bruce Seth Green.
They've been talking all night. She still has her hoops on.
She does.
She's like, this time next year, we won't be together.
She said, it's hard to imagine my life without you. And he says, well, you did pretty well for 3 months. She goes, you know what I mean?
Burn. That was a good burn.
It was.
Come on. You have to admit that was a good burn.
It was. But he tells her that Gail is pregnant and she's so happy. It's really, really cute, this moment between them. They're both genuinely happy. They share a hug. And yeah, he's saying that their Capeside's going to have a little Leary and a little Potter. Is Alexander's last name Potter? Running around.
I'm assuming it would be Bodie's last name. The next generation.
Dawson says, nothing propels you into adulthood faster than the next generation nipping at your heels.
Shut up. He's such a loser. What did he say? Something in this episode. I was like, God, he's such a loser. I forgot what it
another
is now.
Another perk of growing up in the new millennium. That's something he said that I wrote down.
That's what it was. That's what it was. He said it about the raves, yeah. Right?
All of these adventures that could kill you. Another perk of growing up in the new millennium.
I do like how she acknowledged like how their lives are crazy now, like Jen and Pacey on the boat. This is something we talked about. Was it last week? Their problems this year are very adult. Mm-hmm. And I like that she acknowledged that. They're seniors.
The real world is here.
It's life or death.
Every episode, life or death.
And I just like how they're like, this is crazy. These are our last months together.
Such a crazy feeling. It's so emotionally charged. The end of high school, the end of college. Real feelings.
Real feelings and like a palpable feeling that you can't really describe, but like seeing them go through it, like you remember it, you know? Remember those like last few weeks before you all went to college for the first time? And it was just like, when am I going to see you again? Let's see each other one more time tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, no, one more time tomorrow. Oh my God, what time are you leaving for college? At 4? Okay, well, I'll come over in the morning.
Ugh, memories. That's it. That's the episode.
Well, what will we be having for the Dawson's drink for episode 407?
For episode 407, you had me at goodbye. We will be drinking the Who's to Blame margarita. It is gold tequila, triple sec, and margarita mix. Easy breezy. Delicious.
I'll have my tissues because it's a sad episode.
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
Well, I guess I'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.